John 1, verses 1 to 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known."
Well, to help us this morning think about Christmas, I'd like to get you to picture a family in your mind, an imaginary family, a fairly average family from St. Albans. And we're going to put into their mouths, into their lips, a question about Christmas, a question for the church, a question, as it were, for the Bible. And the question is, what is it that you think we are missing? What are we missing? Our imaginary family, let's call them Bill and Barbara, husband and wife, and two or three kids. Any likeness, by the way, to any real people is completely unintentional and coincidental, so please know that. But Bill and Barbara have good jobs, respectable. He is an accountant, she is a teacher. They enjoy their hobbies, which in St. Albans seems to be cycling for most people. Millions of them, aren't there? They enjoy their foreign holidays. They enjoy reading. Life has not always been easy. Their marriage went through a rocky period, but things are better now. Life has had its ups and downs, work stresses, but they've come through that. They've had their bereavements too, and the pain of loss. They're looking forward to Christmas. Their kids will be around, their friends will be around, family will be around, and they are simply trying to live at life to the full. They are kind, honest, decent people, and there are many like that, aren't there, in St. Albans. They sort of know something of the Christmas story. They had RE lessons as youngsters in school. They've been to nativity plays over the years. They sort of know some of the details, although, of course, like everyone else, they're very fearful of religious fundamentalists. But it's not the sort of thing that they take seriously. Life is sort of good with its ups and downs, and they're just trying to enjoy it and do their best. And you get into conversation with these folk, these pleasant folk. They begin to see that you take it seriously, that you're interested in your faith. And they ask the question, say, there's obviously more to it than Father Christmas and simply something to do with mangers and animals. What is it that we are missing? What is it that we can't see, that we don't understand? Well, we're going to spend some time focusing on that third reading, John chapter 1. You may like to have it open in front of you there in the order of service, which was read to us a few moments ago. Catherine read it to us. John chapter 1. And I want to focus particularly in verses 10 through to 13 there from John chapter 1 to help us think about what many people in a place like St. Albans, and I guess many people in the UK, are missing, what they haven't picked up on. And the first thing that many are missing is clearly seeing who Jesus is. Many know the name Jesus, yet don't recognize him for who he is. We'll see that in verse 10 in a moment. We'll focus on that in a moment. You see, I think this verse, which we're going to look at, verse 10, for a few moments, I think puts Christmas in the most amazing terms. See, let's ask the question, who was that baby? Who was that child that was being held by Mary those years ago? Our family had the privilege of going round to the Taps yesterday. Chris was leading the service for us a few moments ago. Chris is married to Erica and they have a young daughter, Lydia. And there Lydia was with her mother. And I sort of walked in and there was Lydia. Well, that's Lydia. Lovely to see you. Small child. And we know exactly who Lydia Tapp is, daughter of Chris and Erica. But this child, this Jesus held by Mary, who was he? Who was that child? Well, we know from this reading that he was in fact God himself. Verse 9, he described it as the light. The light shines in, there in verse 9. The light has come in to the world. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. And then verse 10 puts it in the most extraordinary way. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Isn't that extraordinary? That child that Mary was holding was the one through whom the world was made. That's why we had that first reading from Genesis 1. As we thought about the creation, that child was the one who, through whom this whole world, this whole universe was brought into existence. And what happens when he comes into the world, when the creator of the world steps into the world? Verse 10, the world did not recognize him. The world that he had made, the humanity he had created, did not see him, could not, did not know him, did not recognize him. You see, what is being missed, our passage tells us, by many, by the world, humanity, is that this child was the very creator of the world, making God known and bringing about a great work of salvation. It's hard really to illustrate this and to tell a story which gets anywhere close to this. The closest I could come was to think of a teacher, a headmaster who had both founded the school and was head teacher of the school. I think actually that was the situation with our kids' school about 100 years ago. The founder was the head teacher. And there he is, the one that's brought this place into being, the one that rules, as it were, the school. I guess head teachers did rule schools in those days. I suspect it's a lot harder these days to have discipline. But imagine that head, that founder of the school walking into the class and no one turning, no one recognizing, no one knowing who he is, just continuing on. So the creator of the world stepped into our world. That's what's being missed by many as we think about Christmas. Well, our lovely family may say, well, hang on. How do I know that? How can I check that out? Well, one of the things you may have noticed that all of our carol services this year are being taken from the Gospel of John, and most of them from these first 18 verses of the book of John. And that's, we want you to get John's Gospel into your hands and for you to read it. And if you haven't read John's Gospel, read it, take it away and have a look at what happened when the creator of the world stepped into his world. Unsurprisingly, some amazing things happened. Water was turned into wine. The dead were raised. Thousands were fed off the back of a few loaves and fish. He spoke the truth. He made God known. If you'd like to find out more, read John. Come to our Christianity Explored courses, and there are flyers for those in the pew. But just feel free to take a gospel away and read it. So what else may be missed by our couple and their family? Well, secondly, I want to point out the amazing privilege of adoption. The amazing privilege of adoption. You see, to many, being a Christian looks unappealing. It looks dull. Church on Sunday mornings, reading the Bible, and thinking, well, that just doesn't look that interesting. Thank you very much. My life is full already. But here in these verses, we are told of the most amazing privilege that a Christian has, that a believer has. Can you see it there in verse 12? Yet to all who received him, that's the one, Jesus Christ, who came into the world, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Those that trust in Christ are made worthy to be children of God. And I just want to reflect upon this with you for a moment. The idea of becoming children of God, of becoming adopted children of God. You see, one of the great things that comes from being a Christian is that our sins are forgiven. That is an amazing and wonderful truth. You see, we've all broken God's laws. We all stand condemned. We have all failed. And one of the great things that we are offered as we trust in Christ is forgiveness. A wiping clean. The slate wiped clean. Guilt goes. No more judgment for us because, of course, of the death of Christ for us. We receive from the King of the universe a royal pardon. And that is fantastic, isn't it? A royal pardon. Forgiveness. And our sins will not be counted against us on judgment day. But we receive more than that. That would be wonderful enough. But we receive more than that. We receive royal adoption. Let me just try and illustrate this, and I again recognize that this kind of falls to bits. Imagine that a young terrorist, maybe a 17-year-old terrorist, has been trained up and has been sent into this country, maybe raised in this country, raised to hate the nation. And his job is to kill our monarch, to kill the queen. Trained up, armed, programmed to kill this young 17-year-old lad. And he makes his way towards his target. It's clear what he's trying to do. Gets off a fire, a couple of shots, but misses. And before he can get another fire off another load, the security get him, pin him down, arrest him. Imprisoned, and then he would be tried. Imagine then the queen walking into that courtroom and saying, I forgive him. I want all charges against that young man dropped. I forgive him. he is to go free. Well, we'd be amazed at that, wouldn't we? Someone tried to kill one of my brothers last year. It's a very disconcerting thing. And I imagine she said, no, I'm not going to have any bitterness against him. I want him forgiven. And then she said, and what I want to do, as well as forgive him, is adopt him. I want to take that young man into my family. I want him to have access to me. I want him to share my wealth. I want him to be part of a close relationship. I want to be there for him whenever I can help him. Now, of course, we'd say, Your Majesty, the time to step down has now arrived. Things are not functioning properly. We'd think she'd gone mad. She can't do that, of course. That's not kind of sort of thing that monarch can do. But it is the very thing that the King of the Universe does. Forgives us a royal pardon and then a royal adoption. Mind-blowing, isn't it? And adoption is a beautiful thing, isn't it? When a child is taken from an abusive, difficult poverty to all of poor prospects to a situation of love and care and prosperity. And we are taken up into the very Godhead. It is an amazing privilege. The God of the Bible is one God, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And those who trust in Christ become adopted into that family and enjoy God here and forever. We can put it like this. The Son of God became a man that men might become sons of God. Amazing thing, isn't it? And so we want to say to St. Albans, we want to say to our friends, it is just amazing what we have. This isn't dull. This is fantastic. Adopted into the family that we can call God the Father. Father. So people miss who Jesus is, miss what is available through him, and thirdly, people often fail to grasp how we receive this adoption. How we receive the adoption. Let's think about this. And my experience tells me that our couple in St. Albans will not be clear on this. Every person I speak to who is not a believer and is just will always say the same thing. The assumption is that God accepts and adopts those who are good. People assume that religion is about trying to be good. And most people hope that they have kind of reached a level of goodness which will get them in. I'm not that bad. I hope I'm going to miss the cut because I'm good enough to get in. And I want to say that is absolutely not what Jesus Christ taught. How do we receive the gift of adoption? The gift of forgiveness and salvation? Well, the phrase is there in verse 13, if you want to have a look at it. Who are the children? The end of verse 13, it's those who are born of God. Now, John does something here that is very, very helpful as he writes his gospel. He has a habit of doing it. He likes to use negatives to help us to understand the truth. We've got a classic example of that in chapter 1, verse 8, here in front of you. He's been talking about John the Baptist, who was the one that came to prepare the way for Jesus. But can you see what he says in verse 8? He himself was not the light. He wants you to be absolutely clear that John was not the one. And all through John's Gospels, you get the nots and the no ones and the no. That's not right. This is. He wants to be absolutely clear with us. And so there in verse 13, he gives us some things. He shows us some things, a list of nots, a list of no's. This doesn't get you in, he says. Be absolutely clear on this. Can you see there in verse 13? Children born not of natural descent, not of human decision, or of a husband's will. Three big nots. These are not the way you get adopted. The first one is, we don't get in through our natural descent. This, of course, would have been particularly important for the Jews to hear. You know, who would have claimed, I'm a descendant of Abraham. As if just to be a descendant of Abraham was enough to get in, to be a child of God. No, it does not matter who our parents are. It's not about being a descendant of Abraham. We need, verse 13, to be born of God, born again. Very important in a place like Spicer Street and the UK generally. You see, being born into a Christian family does not make a person a Christian. Being born in a Christian, loosely Christian country does not make a person a Christian. Our country is loosely Christian. That does not mean that the country is full of genuine Christians who have been born of God. 60% would sign up as being Christian in our nation. But that does not mean in some vague way signing up, thinking we came from a Christian family, being in a Christian nation, means that we have been genuinely born of God. We need to be born of God, not just born into a Christian nation or a Christian home. Secondly, not born of human decision, of human will. It's not something that we can kind of go, I'm going to get this, I'm going to reach this. St. Albans, of course, is full of I can do people. Stick at it, work at it. Even if you don't get in first time, come back a second time, come back a third time. Work, work, work. No. No program, no amount of hard work, no amount of good deeds gets us in. Thirdly, not of a husband's will. The husband, the father, cannot make the child a Christian. It's not a question of I'm going to have 4, 5, 6, 7 kids who all get in. It's not within the power of the husband or the father to get people in to the kingdom. Even if that's frustrating for parents at times, you can't make them. You need to be born of God. You can't be born a Christian. You can't make yourself a Christian. You can't make others a Christian. How then do you become a Christian? How do you have your sins forgiven and be adopted into the family? How are you born of God? Well, verse 12 tells us, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Can you see the two ways it puts it there in 12? Who received him, those who believed in him. Receiving emphasizes the fact that we can't earn it and we just have to receive it. It has to come to us from God. This forgiveness, this new life, this Spirit, the Holy Spirit. What we do is we believe, though, in him. Believing is not saying simply, Jesus existed. It's not saying simply, I acknowledge that Jesus is God. It is me personally trusting him as a person and saying, I cannot save myself. Jesus, I look to you to save me. My trust is in you. I cannot save myself. You are the one who saves, and I look to you to save. And coupled with that is I submit to you as Lord. You are my Lord and my Savior. And those that trust in him, believe in him in that way, receive forgiveness and can be called children of God. So we want to say to our family, no. It's not by being good, it's by being born of God, through trusting in Jesus Christ, that we receive this new life. As we wrap up, I guess people will be at a number of points thinking about this Christian message. Let me just identify, I think, kind of one of three places you might be. It might be that you feel far off, that you're not persuaded that it's true, you're not sure, but you would like, in one sense, to know more. Well, I've already mentioned, read John's Gospel, come to one of our Christianity Explored courses. But more than that, I want you to encourage you to cry out to God and say, please, may I have this new birth. There's something here. Please, God, show me. Please work in me that I may know this new birth. Secondly, maybe actually you are close. You have become aware that you are a sinner and that you want your sins forgiven, that Jesus Christ is exactly who he said he is. You are all but there. Why not close with Jesus Christ this morning and put your faith in him this morning and say, Jesus Christ, my Savior and my Lord, I trust you, take my life. Give me your new life this morning. There'll be a third group. Those who are already born of God. You've put your faith in Christ. Can I just encourage you in the very depths of your being to rejoice in what you have in Jesus Christ? You are the child of a king. You have been taken into the very life of God, and you will enjoy it for eternity. The one thing I do not think a church can be, when we reflect upon this, is joyless. What a wonderful thing we have. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you that he came into the world. We thank you for the privilege of adoption. And we thank you, Lord, that this comes to us through trusting in him. You know each one of our hearts this morning. Please work in us by your Spirit to either bring us to saving faith or to help us to rejoice in what we have. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we're going to close by singing Hark the Herald Angels Sing, a great, great carol with a great third verse. Born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Father, we thank you that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and we thank you in his name. Amen.